1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 to 9, but I want to begin with verse number 1 to give us the context. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1, so that we can get the context. The elders, that speaks of older people, particularly church leaders that were older, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter addressed this section to the elders. These were the leaders of the congregation, particularly the pastors, and yet he says here that it was for all of them as well. And it broadens out. The first few verses are directed right to the preachers, but then he broadens it out and he opens it up to the rest of everybody, including us, and tells us we need to humble ourselves, verse 6. We need to cast our burdens on the Lord, verse 7. And then verses 8 and 9, he opens up and he gives us some instruction regarding the devil. He actually gives us three commands concerning our enemy, the devil, in these two verses. And as we look at this, important for us to see some of the things he's saying here. The devil is out to defeat us, and he wants to get us down. And Peter describes the devil as a roaring lion. As a roaring lion. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, makes his comment on the roaring lion. He says, the lion here is not a crouching lion, a lion stealthily creeping toward his foe, but it is a raging monarch of the woods, who by his terrible roar would intimidate all so that they might become an easy prey. And you know, the devil is prowling around in your life and mine. The devil is trying to get us so that he can sneak up on us and pounce on us and devour us. The word there that speaks of devour, it literally means to swallow down. He wants to swallow us up and defeat us spiritually. Now, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, he can't take you to hell with him. But he will make his life as miserable as possible for you. And he wants to give us a hard time. Back in the book of Job, in Job chapter 1 and verse number 7, we read there that Satan was going to and fro on the earth from walking up and down in it. So apparently, Satan has the ability to go all through the earth, causing trouble, trying to get people defeated, try to knock them down, try to devour them, try to keep them from doing right, try to get them to do wrong. The devil is constantly going about doing these things. Not only the devil, but we know also that he has a multitude of demons that are working with him. And they work hand in hand to try to discourage and defeat us. We know Jesus' words to Peter in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. Where he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Here's one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, also called Simon. And he said, Simon, the devil's after you to sift you. He wants to sift all the goodness out of you and cause you to do the things that are wrong. And Jesus said he would pray for him. The Apostle Paul warned of Satan's wiles, those cunning tactics that deceive and trick us. And he warns us of this in Ephesians chapter 6. You remember the passage that deals with the spiritual armor, verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians 6. And he tells us there that we need to beware of the wiles of the devil, his tricks, his attempts to deceive us. And oh, how cunning he is. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, in verse number 9, the Apostle John writes there that describing the devil. And he says that he is that great dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He's a deceiver. And you know, folks, we struggle. Every one of us struggles to do right on a daily basis. It may be guarding our mouth, it may be guarding our mind, it may be guarding our activities, but Satan wants us to do wrong. And he's constantly tempting and constantly luring and constantly trying to get us off guard so that he can pounce on us and get us to trip and fall. And so Peter is writing to warn us. Satan's not particular how he gets us to become weak so that he can pounce on us. He doesn't care. He's cunning. He'll use all his cunning tactics and deceitfulness and lies to try to get us to do wrong. He may feed our pride and keep us from humbly submitting to God. Your tongue may be a tool that he gets to hurt others or to harm your Christian testimony. He uses lustful internet and television to lure you into ungodly thoughts and actions. Poorly chosen friends are another tool of the devil to lead you astray. Even a busy schedule can be a tool of the devil to keep you from reading your Bible. Say, I just don't have time. Or to keep you from praying or witnessing or attending church. Even stubborn children act as a tool to rouse parents to anger. He delights in using stress in our relationships to cause Christians to act in ungodly ways. We live in a stress-filled, ungodly world. And the devil uses all of these tactics. And you get the picture. You could add to that list. There's all kinds of things. You know particularly the ways that Satan attacks you. You know the things that he does to bring into your life that lead you astray, that get you off track, that keep you from doing what's right. That's what we're talking about here this morning. Those are all his tricks. Satan is after us. And Peter here in the first few verses, he refers to the flock of God. He was talking to these preachers and said, you're like the shepherds. And the flock of God is depending on you to protect them. And you know, just like those sheep in that flock. You know, you just picture in your mind the sheep out on the paddocks. Now, one thing we don't have here in Australia is lions. We don't have to worry about that. But in Bible lands, they had lions they had to worry about. So the shepherd's out there, the sheep are in the field, and the lions are prowling around looking for an opportunity to attack. So there was a vital important that both the sheep and the shepherds stay awake and be vigilant and watching, because the lion was prowling around waiting for an opportunity, and there's a little lamb that's kind of wandered off and he's watching for the opportunity, and the shepherd had to be sharp. He'd get out there and say, come on, get back with your mom. Can't be wandering off here. There's lions in this area. And the lion says, oh, missed that one. And he's out there trying to get them, and he's watching and looking, and that is exactly the activity of Satan today in our lives. Is it any wonder that we struggle so much with sin? Is it any wonder we struggle so much with temptation and troubles and trials and falling on our face and not guarding our mouth and not guarding our mind and not guarding our activities? It's no wonder, because Satan is out there prowling around trying to get us to fall. In our text this morning, Peter gives us three commands that if we will obey, they'll help to protect us from Satan's attacks. I want to show you those commands this morning. We see, first of all, the very first word, well, the first couple words, be sober. Be sober. This is a command. But we ask ourselves, what does it mean to be sober? We think of sober related to alcohol, and it's not the only use of the word. The word sober, you look at the definitions, you know, just like in English, there's a lot of, you get an English dictionary and look at the definitions of words. Sometimes it's got a half a page on one word. Why? Because the word's got a lot of different kinds of meanings. It can be used in a lot of different kinds of contexts. And sometimes the words in the original language were like that as well. And this word has several different different aspects of its meaning. For example, it means to be sober, calm, collected in spirit, sensible, discreet, temperate, means self-controlled, dispassionate, circumspect, that means you watch carefully where you're going. It has to do, one commentator said that it's the opposite of every kind of fuzziness. It's not this, well, I'm not really sure where I'm going. Or, you know, on those foggy mornings where you can't really see what's going on. He says it's the opposite of that. He says you got to stay perfectly clear, wide open. You can see everything. And it refers to self-control, clarity of mind. All of these things are needed in order for us to serve God. Now, if we were to wrap it all up and kind of sum it up together, basically the word be sober there means to have a clear mind that is alert and sensible. A clear mind that is alert and sensible. In our little song that we just sang, it's the idea of being ready. Being ready. Always alert. Clear mind, alert and sensible. Watching, looking for opportunities to protect ourselves. Years ago, when I lived in Papua New Guinea, I remember one time specifically that my coworker and I, we went back to a remote village in the jungle. And we had other nationals with us that were guiding the path and showing us where to go. If we hadn't had them, we would have been lost for sure. But they knew where they were going, leading us through the tall grass and the wooded land and the swamps and all this kind of thing, back into this far village. But my coworker, his name is Jerry. Good old Jerry. He's telling me stories while we're walking. And I said, Jerry, I don't want to hear your stories. But he keeps on telling his stories. What are his stories? Well, he's telling me about these. And he says, you know, down in South America, they got big snakes. I mean, really big snakes. Some of them hang in the trees. And you're walking along, and all of a sudden they drop down on you. I'm looking around. Like they're around here. He's telling about all this. And he said, I read one that said it was a huge snake. It was so big that it grabbed a water buffalo and it was swallowing that thing whole. And I'm thinking, come on, Jerry, enough of your stories. I don't want to hear any more. I don't like your stories. But I'll tell you one thing it did for me. It made me sober. It made me sober. I was very much alert watching for snakes. Now, there were a lot of poison snakes in Papua New Guinea. Thankfully, we didn't come up close to too many of them. While we were living in the village, there was a man that got bit and died from a poison snake. So they were around. But, you know, so I was watching very carefully everything around me, where we were going. And that's why if you've ever gone on a walk with me around here, I'm kind of that same way. I'm a little bit paranoid of snakes, you know, because I'm not real fond of snakes. Some people aren't scared of them, but I guess I have to admit I am. But I was very vigilant, very sober here, watching carefully with a clear mind as we hiked through the grass. Now, how can we be sober and avoid temptation? You know, putting it into a practical life as Peter was trying to get us to understand here. We must, first of all, know our enemy. We need to know the enemy. What's he like? What does he use to deceive us? What are his tactics? The more we know about how he is going to attack us, the better we can avoid it. We must have a clear mind with no fuzziness, clearly knowing the devil's tricks. How does he attack you? How has he attacked you in the past? That's where you need to start. What has the devil done in my life in the past that has caused me to trip and fall? How does he get me upset? How does he get me to react in the wrong way? How does he get me to use my mouth in a bad way? How does he get me to use my thoughts in a bad way? How does he get me to do things I shouldn't do? How does he do that? What does he do? What did he do to be able to get you into that trap? Evaluate those things. Know your own personal weaknesses. I know my weaknesses. You probably know yours. And if you know your weaknesses, you know the areas where you often trip and fall. You know the areas that you really need to work on. So things that you say, well, you know, it's a bad habit. I got to work on it. That's one of the areas you got to work on. The devil's going to get you in that area. Watch those things. Be alert. Know your own weaknesses. Do you struggle? Do your struggles center around your mouth? Around your eyes? Are they about your mind? Or your lusts? Your habits? Your attitudes? Your worry? Your spiritual neglect? Something else. What is it that is the weakness in your life that the devil is ready to pounce on you as soon as he gets an opportunity? You need to be looking and be alert and be awake. Make a clear list of people that you know you should not be around. Some people just aren't good friends. You may like to be around them, but you know deep down inside, every time I'm with that person, I get myself in trouble. I say something I shouldn't say. I think stuff I shouldn't think. I do things I shouldn't do. I need to stay away from that person. You say, but that's so mean. No, that's not mean. That's wise. If there's somebody you need to stay away from, stay away from them. But the devil will use them in your life to try to lure you into temptation. Guard yourself. We must consistently be ready and alert. We need to stay close to the Lord. Nothing will help you to defeat the devil's attacks more than a flourishing relationship with Christ. What do I mean by that? I mean, you need to have a time where you regularly, daily spend time with God, studying the Bible, meditating on the Scriptures, applying it to your heart, spending time with God in prayer, pouring out your heart to God, staying in close fellowship with God. That will help you more than anything else to avoid the devil's temptations. We need to stay close to God. Do you confess all your sins to God immediately when you do something wrong? Or do you put it off and think, well, I don't want to talk about it right now. But you do something wrong, if a word comes out of your mouth that you know shouldn't have come out of your mouth, the first thing you need to do is immediately say, God, I'm sorry. That was wrong. Please, God, clean up my mouth and don't let me say that ever again. You need to deal with it immediately. If you don't do that, you're making an open door for the devil to get you to do it again and to trip you up. Do you humbly seek forgiveness of others when you hurt them? Folks, listen, we all hurt each other. I mean, that's part of life. We do things, say things, act things that hurt. Sometimes on purpose, often accidentally. But when that happens, and you know it happens, the right thing to do is to say, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? That was not right. I shouldn't have acted like that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Get it right. Because if you don't, you're laying a trap for yourself that the devil will use against you. Do you fully forgive those that hurt you? When someone does something to you, do you forgive them for that? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. That's pretty serious. So if there's someone in your life that you hold a bitterness against and say, I'll never forgive them for what they did to me. Well, you just said, God, I'm not going to forgive them, so I know you're not going to forgive me. So that's the end of that. God said, I will not forgive you if you don't forgive them. Pretty serious. Very serious. So all of these things that the devil uses, he uses our internet and our phone. You know, if you don't have a filter on those things, you need to get one. You can get some free ones, but you can get some inexpensive ones, but you need a filter on that to keep the smut out. You know, I'm so glad I've got a filter on my internet because I don't have to worry about accidentally pushing the wrong key and some naked woman comes up on my screen. I don't have to worry about that because the filter stops that. And that's a blessing. I don't want that to happen. So we're helping ourselves so the devil doesn't get us down. We need to bounce our eyes when you see something immodest. You men especially, the ladies aren't so much bothered by this. But the men, you know, in these hot weathers and the women run around with almost nothing on, you need to bounce your eyes and look the other way. It's not right to sit there and lust after those women. Jesus said, if you lust in your heart after a woman, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. So we've got to bounce our eyes and look the other way. See, these are things that we've got to do in order to keep the devil from setting traps for us. So he says, be sober. Have a clear mind that is ready and alert. But he gives us a second command. We see here, he says, be sober, be vigilant. Vigilant. What does it mean to be vigilant? Well, vigilant is has the idea of watchful. Refraining from sleep. Staying awake. Paying attention. Cautious. Alert. The basic idea of the word means to watch and stay awake. God says, don't fall asleep. And so it is. You know, you remember the shepherd and the sheep out in the field. When the shepherd would put his sheep down at night to sleep, he would put them inside of a sheepfold, a shelter that he had created with rocks and briars and thistles and everything else he could find that would be sharp and unpleasant for a lion or a bear or something to crawl over and get his sheep. And then he slept in the doorway so that nothing could get in there. And his sheep were kept safe. If he heard any rustling, he would get up and get his light and light the fire and get a torch and go around and look for whatever it was. He would protect them. He stayed awake and alert. We've got to do the same. God says, the devil's after you. You've got to stay awake. You've got to stay awake. In years past, not sure about Australia, but I know in America it was this way, and I suspect it was here as well. In the military, when a soldier was assigned night duty to guard the camp, if he fell asleep, the penalty for his falling asleep was the firing squad. They shot him. That's pretty serious. You know, if you're standing up there standing guard and you start getting tired, you better stay awake, man, because if you fall asleep and they catch you down there falling over asleep, you'll be the next one shot the next morning. Now, you know, the devil's after us. And God says here, stay awake. Stay awake. Don't let him sneak up on you. Don't let him get you. Don't let him see you sleeping. And how can we be vigilant and watching for the devil? We need to keep awake on duty. God says we're on duty all the time. Be awake. Overconfidence will lull you to sleep. Overconfidence. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, we are tempted. The devil wants us to think, well, others may get trapped by that, but not me. I'm smart enough to do. I can avoid that. We get overconfident, think that we can handle things that we can't. Or we may say, I'm strong enough to look at that without falling. That won't bother me. Next thing we know, he's got us. We fall on our face. Overconfidence is the wrong thing to do. We need to be vigilant. We need to be stay awake and watching. Another thing we can do is make excuses for our weaknesses. And by doing this, it'll put us to sleep. If you have a problem with anger and say, well, it's not my fault. I inherited this bad temper. You know, it's just the way I am. My dad, my grandpa, and my great-grandpa, they were all mad too. And so I just inherited it, so I can't do anything about it. That's making excuses. Truth of the matter is, we can do something about it. We've got to give it to God. Making excuses for our tongue. When our tongue says things that we shouldn't say. Well, I wouldn't have said that if they wouldn't have done that to me. And you know, they pushed me into it, and that's why I said no. Or sometimes people say, "Well, I don't know where that came from. I never say that before." And then all of a sudden, it came out. Well, it came out because Jesus said, "What's inside is going to come out." And you know, folks, listen. I pity those of you who work in environments where you have to listen to the filthy music all day long, or you have to listen to people that are cussing and swearing and cursing and using God's name in vain all day long. I pity you. It's hard to pull that out of your mind and erase that and get it out of your thoughts. And it's the devil will use that when you get upset to bring up some of that smut that you heard from other people to come out of your mouth. That's tough. That's hard. And my heart goes out to you. But you need to do your best to say, God, please help me to keep that rubbish out of my mouth and out of my mind. I don't want that in there. He says, stay awake. Stay awake. Sometimes we underestimate the devil's power. And that'll make us drowsy. You may be thinking right now, oh, Pastor, you're just being overdramatic. You know, it's not all that bad. No, I'm not being overdramatic. It's probably not nearly as bad as I say. The devil's powerful. He hates you. He hates Jesus Christ. He wants to hurt us and harm us. He is not our friend at all. And he'll do anything he can to deceive us and to corrupt us. We need to be awake. We need to stand guard with integrity. We need to train ourselves to sift through everything we hear, everything we see, and everything we do through the Word of God. The Scriptures tell us over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 21 and 22. Very important verses. He says there, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. What did he mean? Prove all things. Test it. The best thing I can think of is a sifter. You all played with sand sifters, you know, the little round things with a screen in the bottom. You put the sand in, you sift it, and all that little stuff goes out the bottom, and the big stuff stays inside. That's exactly what we need to do with everything in life. You need to run it through the sifter of the Word of God. The Word of God is a sifter, and you say, is this kind of talk right? No, it wasn't. Is this kind of a television show right? No, it didn't pass. Sift everything you do, everything you say, everything you hear through the Word of God. Let the Bible be your guide. He says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all which appearance of evil. If it doesn't look right, stay away from it. Now that's God's advice. That'll help us. That's how we can be vigilant. That's how we can stay awake in this old wicked world we live in. This is no small task. I know that. It's not easy. I'm not saying this is just a easy little thing. You can all do that just in a blink of an eye. No, it's going to take a lot of work. First of all, you're going to need to know the Scriptures so that you know how to sift the Word through that. If you don't even know what to look at in the Scriptures, how are you going to know what's right or wrong? You know, studying the book of Proverbs will help you immensely in overcoming evil. The book of Proverbs is a gold mine full of treasures that will help you and me to be able to sift through the rubbish of this world to find out what is right and wrong. God's Word, not just Proverbs, but all of it will help us. But Proverbs is just it's a mine full. It's got so much there. But then that brings us to the third command he gives us. He says, be sober, be vigilant. And then in verse number 9, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist is another command. He says, we must resist the devil. The term simply means to stand against, to oppose, to withstand. Do not give in. We need to quote Scriptures. We need to flee to Christ. But he says, don't give in. Resist the devil. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to think like that. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to do those. I'm not going to. With God's help, I'm going to do what's right. And we resist the devil. The word is translated withstand in Paul's instructions there in the spiritual armor. He says in verse number 13, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Resist in the evil day. Having done all to stand. Ephesians 6:13. James tells us to resist the devil, uses the same word. James chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. Say no to the devil. I'm not going to do that. You know, sometimes it's one thing to talk to yourself or talk in your mind to the devil and say, no, I'm not going to do that. But you know when it's harder? When it's your friends that are trying to get you to do something and you have to say to them, no, I'm not going to do that. That's hard. It's one thing to talk to the devil and nobody can see him and they don't know you're talking to him. But when you have to actually open your mouth and say to your friends, no, that's not right. I'm not going to drink that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to smoke that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to do that. That's not right. That takes courage. A lot of courage. Because your friends will probably say, oh, come on, quit being so religious. God, it's okay. It won't hurt anything. They're lying. The devil's using them. They're a trap. The devil's pulling you into the trap. Don't listen. What did God tell us? He says, flee also youthful lust. Run. Run. Resist it. Don't fall for it. It's not easy. It takes work. I struggle just like everybody else does. God says we need to resist the devil. Fight the devil. You know, when I say fight the devil, you know, sometimes some people have this idea that we need to just, you know, start fighting the devil. No, I got to go fight the devil. No, the Bible doesn't tell us to actually fight the devil. He says resist the devil. There's a difference. Fighting the devil is going out after him. I'll get him. I'll show him a thing or two. No, God says resist him. He's far too strong for you. You can't defeat him. You remember over in the book of Jude? Michael the archangel had to confront the devil. And when he did, Michael didn't say, devil, I'm stronger than you. You get away from me and don't do this. No, he didn't do that. What did he do? He said, the Lord rebukes thee. The Lord rebukes thee. Because even Michael the archangel did not have the power and ability to defeat the devil himself. He depended upon the Lord. And we have to do the same. We can't do it in our own strength. We need God's help. Peter qualified the command in two ways. Verse number 9, again he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That phrase, steadfast in the faith, is an important phrase. He says, being steadfast in the faith is standing firm in our faith. It's not in our own human power. It's in our faith that we're standing strong. In what God has taught us and what he tells us to do. We stand strong in that. It is resting fully on the power and promises of Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4 is a helpful verse. He says, but you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, what did Jesus say was in us? He said, the Spirit of God lives in us. And he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God is far more powerful than Satan. Now, Satan's way more powerful than you and me. But the Spirit of God living in us is more powerful than Satan. And he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Great encouragement. The Apostle Paul added to that in Romans 8:31 when he said, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a promise. If God's on your side and you're doing what God's told you to do and you're trying to obey God, he said, if God be for you, who can be against you? You've got God on your side. Then we also read over in Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If we will hide God's word in our heart, it will help us to defeat the devil. It'll help us to resist the devil. It'll help us to avoid him, not fall for his traps. We need to spend time in the Word of God. But then he gives us one last thing that we need to do with this command. And that is, he says, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He says, remember that you're not the only one facing temptations. It happens to everybody. You're not alone. You're not the first one that's been attacked. You're not the first one who's ever faced that temptation. You're not the first one. He said, your brethren that are in the world are facing the same things. And you know the truth of the matter is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you face the same temptations and troubles and trials that I face. The devil's after me just like he's after you. And he says, we need to remember that. You're not by yourself. Sometimes we feel like, I'm all alone, I can't do it, forget it. You know, I might as well give in because I just can't. No, remember, you're not alone. There's lots of other Christians that are going through the same things you're going through. You say, well, maybe not the exact, well, maybe not exactly what you're going through, but the same context of what you're going through. The temptation to be wrong with our mouth, wrong with our mind, wrong with our eyes, wrong with our thoughts, wrong with our activities, wrong with the things we do, with the things that we eat and the drink. The temptations are all the same. The devil's after us to get us to do wrong. And he says that these things, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That word accomplished is an awesome word. Make a note of this. It'll help you. The word means to be brought to an end. To be brought to an end. These same afflictions are brought to an end in your brethren that are in the world. Others have gotten victory, so can you. Others have gotten victory, so can you. So he says, be sober, be vigilant, be resisting, because others have gotten victory in the past, and so can you. Folks, the devil is prowling around you right now. And he'll prowl around you this afternoon. And certainly tomorrow as well. And the day after, and it'll continue on. That's just the way life is. And he's seeking ways to devour you. He wants to defeat you. God gave you three commands. Be sober. Your mind must be clear and alert. Be vigilant. You must watch and not fall asleep. And thirdly, resist. You must stand against Satan's attacks. If you've not been obeying God's commands, and you've not been controlling yourself, and the devil's been tripping you up, what do you do? Well, the Bible tells us you need to confess it to God. Ask the Lord to forgive you. And ask Him to help you to begin afresh and anew. But you know, there may be some here in the congregation of this size that have never yet put your trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, you know about Him. That's why you're here. You sing the songs about Him. That's why you're here. But there's never been a time when you bowed your knee before the Lord and said, Lord, I am guilty. I am a sinner. I'm condemned. If I died today, I'd go to hell, and I don't want that, but I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believe He washed my sins away if I will trust Him. And Lord, I'm asking You to please apply that to me. I want His salvation. If you've never done that, you need to do it. That's what makes you a child of God. You can't have victory. You'll never have victory over the devil until you have the Lord as your Savior, because you need His help. I urge you to put your trust in Him if you've never done that. Ask Him to save your soul.